Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So we just talked about the gutting of local news generally in the United States at the hands of hedge funds and digital economy market forces. So here's one attempt, small in the scheme of things, but maybe groundbreaking, to aid in the survival and creation of local news organizations in New Jersey and help democracy in the process. New Jersey State Assemblyman Roy Freiman introduced a bill last week that would offer a $250 tax deduction to many New Jerseyans who subscribe to a local news organization. Assemblyman Roy Freiman is a Democrat who represents the 16th Assembly District, that's south of I-78 in western Jersey to the Pennsylvania line, Princeton, South Brunswick, Hillsborough, Flemington, Hunterdon, around there. Assemblyman Freiman joins me now. Assemblyman, thanks for your patience as we went a little long with McKay Coppins there because it was so interesting. And I hope I got the district lines mostly right. I know they change. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. And yes, you nailed it perfectly. And it was a fascinating conversation you just had with McKay. So thank you.
So if your bill were to pass, who would get what kind of tax deduction for doing what exactly?
It's an attempt to address an issue around that you talked about before, which is the decline of journalism. So this is, it's not a very complex bill. I'm not sure it's candidly, Brian, a perfect bill, but it's meant to begin the conversation of, can you make it more affordable? Can you make it more attractive for people to invest in journalism? And by doing that, by offering a tax credit, if they were to get a subscription to whether it's an online or print version based in New Jersey, covering New Jersey news.
Is there something that you were seeing about New Jersey news coverage in particular, which was never so robust because New Jersey is sort of caught between the New York media market, which mostly covers New York, and the Philadelphia media market, which mostly covers Philadelphia. And if so, despite some really good news organizations, Bergen Record, Star Ledger, some others, New Jersey's been kind of caught in between forever. So have you seen a further decline? Is that why you're doing this?
The short answer is yes, there has been a consistent decline, I think, in journalism. And more importantly, the reporting of news. There is no decline, and as a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite of information. We know that information is readily available. It doesn't necessarily mean that news and is available. And that is left up to professionals, journalists, that go after and report in the news. And I think if we have conversations like your previous one, among friends and family and saying, well, where do you get news these days? There's a silence because it's not as prevalent. The idea, you can certainly turn on a multitude of cable channels or go online and get all sorts of information, but that's more of an echo chamber than it is reporting of news. We know that the impetus behind this, Brian, is the fact that in the First Amendment, it says the free press is sacred. And the idea that the press protects democracy is really what this is about. How are we going to have the protection? How are we going to have the investigation, the reporting, the scrutinization, if it doesn't exist? That's what's driving this intent.
And when you make that interesting distinction between information, which is all over the place, and news, and people in their bubbles and echo chambers, you didn't know it, but you really anticipate our next segment, sort of part three of this hour. McKay Coppins, you, and then our own Kai Wright is going to come on. And listeners, get ready to participate in an experiment if you want, either today on the air, later this hour, or on Thanksgiving Day with your family. Kai Wright is going to come on in just a few minutes with a filter bubble experiment, an echo chamber experiment that you can participate in. So stay tuned for that and we'll explain. And listeners in New Jersey, do you support the idea of a $250 tax deduction for a local news subscription? How do you see the New Jersey news landscape? Where do you get your New Jersey news? And has that changed in recent years? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Assemblyman Roy Freiman. You're a Democrat. The Assembly has a Democratic majority. The bill is only a week old, I see. But do you have an indication it could pass?
I have an indication it can pass. I don't. We have it. We're going into the last three voting sessions of our assembly, and I don't know if this will reach the prioritization of within those last three voting sessions going through committee that it needs to go through. So I don't know if it's going to be short term. And as I mentioned before, I'm candidly saying, are there other solutions? This is a complex issue that you're doing a deep dive in and you're dedicating your show to. And I suspect you're going to sit back and realize there are a multitude of contributing factors around what is happening to journalism compared to prior decades. I am not naive to think that there is a singular solution to solve this. Nor am I trying to pick winners and losers on the business model associated with how to report out news, how to keep people properly informed, how to protect democracy. We know that it was a William Paley, who was of the CBS network fame, recognized that the news network and the news side of his business was not intended to be to generate huge revenues and profits. He left that up for the entertainment side, but felt that it was critical to have both. You talked about public broadcasting. There are other models. There is cooperative ownership, like you have in markets and farm markets and things like that, that might be a solution here. So I'm not naive, and Brian, I'm not going to say that this piece of legislation is the nirvana and the elixir that's going to solve this issue.
But if any reaction from your Republican colleagues? You might not need them because of the Democratic majorities in the Assembly and State Senate in New Jersey, but any Republican colleagues' reaction? Their last president, as I don't have to tell you, called most journalism the enemy of the people.
So I'd rather not talk about that last comment, but talk about your first question, which is, yes, I do have support from my colleagues. I try very, very hard to make sure that my legislation is not just rushed through or as a partisan measure, but it's supported on both sides of the aisle. To me, the idea of how do you grow true news reporting is something that is, I would think, universally supported. Those that push against and supported where the prior president's attitudes was the fact that they didn't feel like the journalism was truly balanced. That certainly was, that's a separate show for you to do, whether or not that was true. But this is, why wouldn't you want appropriate, authentic news reporting versus just, as you're going to cover in your next topic, spewing of information?
Georgina in Red Bank, you're on WNYC. Hi, Georgina.
Yes, good morning, Brian. Good morning. This topic is very interesting. We moved from Ocean City, New Jersey, and there's a newspaper that comes out once a week, the Sentinel. And the editor is just an extremely principled human being. He covers all the local politics and issues. And when Congressman Van Drew flipped parties, a local contributor to the newspaper wrote a scathing article about him. And David Mahan, the editor, published it. So meanwhile, he didn't know, but the contributor called Van Drew personally and insulted him and his wife. So the city council of Ocean City voted to drop the Sentinel as the newspaper of choice, the official newspaper for the city. And that's in the midst of COVID, when there was a drop in advertising. There's a steady income for David. So what does he do? He's been blackballed.
Is this a story you're familiar with, Assemblyman? And of course, it again raises a question about government power over private news organizations.
I'm not familiar with this particular situation. The idea of having your local community papers, I believe, is central to protecting democracy, having them report out what's happening in zoning and Board of Education. And so I think we lose something when we do not have that kind of reporting going out. And even if it's uncomfortable, isn't that the whole concept of journalism and the press and where it's been with government, that there's always been a natural conflict that exists.
And of course, we can't instantly confirm callers' sequence of events, but very troubling if true. Simon, who I think is a local news publisher in Bloomfield. Simon, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Pleasure to be here. Hi, Representative Feinman. Great to hear from you. So, yes, I run the Bloomfield Information Project. We're a lab in Bloomfield in Essex County that is also a grantee of the New Jersey Civic Information Consortium, a body created by the state legislature to fund local news and information projects in the state. So I want to just reach out and say, you know, Representative Feinman, thank you for thinking about this and being concerned about this issue and being open to alternative public funding models, which is, I think, really one of the things I heard in this conversation and in your conversation earlier with McKay, Brian, that might be missing. I think there's a lot of opportunity to reimagine this local, hyper-local news and information in the 21st century and how we can support it publicly. So I'm just like saying thankful for this conversation and happy to answer any questions and the insight that I was able to add.
Thank you. Assemblyman?
No, I do appreciate. Thanks very much. I would ask you a question of how do you feel about, you know, since the dawn of time, we've had for-profit news organizations. Why is that? I've been getting pushback actually from people saying, why is that a bad thing? And I'm not, again, trying to pick winners or losers on a business model. But I and of course I realize I'm on a public station right now, but why is it, you know, one or the other? What has happened, in your opinion? Well,
certainly. So in my opinion, it's the binary is actually sort of a false binary, because if you look at the way nonprofit news organizations are run as compared to like for-profit news organizations, largely there's still a sort of centralized decision-making process that doesn't center the needs of community, like of community members and their news and information needs. So I think really the future is in organizations that start with communities, that start with engaged journalism, that start with information needs, rather than like I am a, you know, capital J journalist making a decision about what is or is not important for folks. Now that is inherently problematic, but like what you described, it's that top down, it's that grassroots news and information. In Bloomfield, we created a process called the News Harvest that has allowed us to sort of like take what was a news desert, typically defined as a news desert, and now we have a daily newsletter, 15 pieces of news and information every day, reaching people, helping improve information equity in town so people can get engaged, live better lives here. That really, again, that grassroots stuff that I think you described when you talk about a community newspaper and what it accomplishes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simon, thank you very much for your call. And, you know, when we talk about nonprofit versus for-profit news, when I started in public radio, Assemblyman, we would do pledge drives and stuff on the idea that we were an oasis in the marketplace of so much infotainment and a lot of commercially funded news. And so we were just trying to be an alternative. And so it was a little bit boutique in that respect. But it's gotten to the point, because the market has changed so much, you know, classified ads went to Craigslist and product and retail store ads went to Google and things like that, that there is no massive commercial media market anymore. And public radio, for whatever reason, you know, the combination of listener support and foundations and the sponsorship that we have as well, has been able to step up and become some of the news organizations of record. We heard the story in the last segment about the Chicago NPR station now acquiring the Chicago Sun-Times. I mean, who ever thought that a public radio station, which was in a corner over here because the commercial marketplace was dominant everywhere else, would become the thing that's financially viable? But that's where it's become.
And I think it's fascinating that I was unaware of the Sun-Times scenario. The idea that there is a significant calling and need, and I think it's personally growing around authenticity in the news reporting, authenticity in journalism, where it's not the echo chamber, it's not clearly, if you want to get a particular point of view, this is where you go. It is meant to be, as I mentioned before, authentic. I turn to people like you and Simon and others to find out what else needs to be done on this topic. Do we need to support careers and having people look to the careers? I know we're doing this, for example, with STEM and sciences, where we're encouraging educators in the field. Is that also part of the equation to protect journalism?
We're going to leave it here and go on to part three of this hour with our Kai Wright to talk about an experiment that he's got for you to do right now. We'll take a few calls to participate in Kai's experiment. And he's also got a version you can do around the Thanksgiving dinner table. So stay tuned for that. My guest in this segment has been New Jersey State Assemblyman Roy Freeman, Democrat from Hunterdon and around there, who is proposing a $250 tax deduction for a subscription to local news. I guess I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if that would also go to people who became members of New Jersey Public Radio, which is part of us.
Yes. If there is a subscription associated with it, yes. It is. Are you based in New York City? In New Jersey?
We have four New Jersey Public Radio stations.
Yes. So yes, if someone subscribes, then it would also cover it as well.
All right, but that bill isn't law yet. But Assemblyman Freeman, thank you so much for engaging it. By the way, where do you get your news? What do you consume mostly? If local news is dwindling in New Jersey, what do you, you know, how do you get coverage of you and your colleagues in the legislature?
That is a multi-part question, because there are various different online publications for what's taking place on a frequent basis, or almost like a blog or newsletters that I for the political type stuff. But I also turn to the more traditional print newspapers. Even though I get them digitally, I also get them in print, and you know, the Star Ledger and the Times and those papers, as well as I subscribe to the community-based paper.
Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.